Hey y'all, welcome back to Black Girl Traveler Podcast. I'm Shira, and we're going to be talking about the elitism of flying on today's episode. I like to start by saying that North Carolina is going to be my home state really soon, and they are very proud to admit that they were the first in flight. You'll see it a lot on their license plates everywhere throughout the state, so I thought it just was divine that today I wanted to talk about the elitism of flying. And I want to talk about several different aspects of flying. So first, we're going to talk about the process of booking a flight. So there are several different websites you can choose from to choose and book your flight. My favorite just happens to be skyscanner.com. I highly recommend the website. I love that the website allows you to compare flight prices across airlines. And usually the general standard when you go on the website is that it's an economy ticket. So you can always, of course, change. But it's great for comparing flight prices across airlines. And so while I haven't been booking my own flights recently because I've been working for a job that pays for my travel, I have noticed how outlandish flight prices have gotten. And it's unacceptable. So today we're going to talk about why flying has become elitist and unstable. And so I'm on skyscanner.com, right? I'm comparing flights. I see a $500 flight to Costa Rica, right? Click on it. It tells me I can, this is through JetBlue. Or no, let's go with American Airlines. And then when I get on American Airlines, the flight actually isn't $500, right? I have to pay for my seat. Why do I have to pay to sit down? Why do I have to pay to sit in the exit row when those spaces have to be filled in order for the plane to take off? It's such a huge problem. So I almost feel like it's a catch-22, or it's like a bait and switch when you use like Skyscanner, Expedia, like those flight comparison price. Even when you go directly on the airline websites, you have to choose your seats as you're booking. And it's an additional $40 to several hundred dollars, depending on where you want to sit. It's ridiculous. So that's my first problem. Booking my own flights, I'm not getting the full price. I need to see and know what is going to come out of my account. I don't want to see the price that you're using to try to reel me in. Then let's talk about luggage. Do y'all remember... I vividly remember this when passengers rioted because American Airlines tried to require passengers to pay for carry-on luggage. I'm side-eyeing as I say this, Spirit and Frontier, who make you pay for everything, including carry-on luggage, and have small-ass seats. But fortunately, the riots with American Airlines worked, and you do currently still get a carry-on bag for free. But let's just talk about when you're on the plane, right? When you're boarding the plane. Typically with American Airlines, there's either 8 or 9 groups. They call ordering groups. So like group one is like first class, veterans, those with children, active military. And then it goes down basically, and it goes from those who pay the most or who have some sort of status or privilege, and then those who pay the least. By the time you get to row 5, they're saying, oh, this flight is full. We're looking for people who are willing to check their bags. And sometimes they'll even say it before you start boarding. And then by the time they call group 5 and 6, they're saying that everyone has to mandatory check their bags it's mandatory that everyone checks their bags because the overhead bin space is full. This has personally happened to me. And I was forced to check a yoga bag. And I was just so like humiliated. Throughout the whole experience, why do I have to pay to check this bag? That's literally no space. And then on top of that, you're lying and saying that the overhead bin space compartments are full. But when I get on, there's so much open space. It's a lie. It's a scam. And it's designed to really inconvenience customers who pay the cheapest fares, right? And it's an inconvenience because, one, now I'm separated from my stuff, whatever it is, even if I don't need it, even if it's not, you know, I take out my medication, even if it's not something that I need right away. Now, when I go to leave the airport, I have to go to baggage claim and wait for your staff to unload the baggage and then get my stuff and then go on about my journey. It's designed to inconvenience you. It truly is. Now let's talk about checking in for your flight. They have check-in and security checkpoint desk for premium only. First class, you know, the regular folks will be in. You know, you can see the difference in between the lines because the regular line is just like people wrapped around. And then for the premium members, first class, AA gold, gold this, gold that, stallion, whatever. Whatever category the airline's trying to put you in to make you feel like you're better than, they will do. Those lines are always empty. They want first class and business class to have immediate access to check their luggage and receive service. While, you know, main cabin and basic economy are often regulated to long lines, it's designed for you to spend more money. It's designed for you to pay for convenience instead of just treating this like a, you know, like a humane enterprise, I think, and just making those services available for everyone, right? It doesn't matter if first class is super happy, if the 2/3 of your plane is very upset about the service that they received and irritable. Right now, everyone's mad. Now the flight attendants are upset because they can feel the energy and they haven't done it. They're like, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. Customers are upset, and it all could be avoided if just airlines would treat people better. So we talked about your luggage, checking in for your flight. Let's talk about boarding it. And we did also talk about boarding the aircraft a little bit. But boarding at airlines is an absolute disaster. So like I said before, with American Airlines, there's usually 8 or 9 groups. They board according to how much a person paid for their price for their flight or a specific privilege that they have because of an identity that they hold. There is no reason why planes should not board back to front. There's no other way that makes sense. And the reason why they do seat first class first is because they want to greet them first, and two, they get to serve them first. Because we all know that airline service doesn't start for the regular folks until we're at cruise altitude. And until the pilot says it's okay. But I have seen it with my own eyes. As soon as that crew gets on the plane, they put up their little bags. They're like, sir, can I get you this? Or they're automatically like offering them drinks and, you know, alcohol is complimentary and blah, blah, blah. And I truly believe that airlines are relying on psychological warfare to make people feel special about boarding first, as if they're better than anyone else because they paid more. Why have people board first to hurry up and sit around and wait instead of having them board last because they're closest to the door? In any regard, there is still space. First class and business class and those who quote unquote pay more or have those special privileges, they have their own overhead bin compartments usually. So it's not an issue of, oh, is there going to be space for their baggage? They paid extra, yada, yada, yada. It's just psychological warfare, and it's classism, and it's a way to distinguish the haves and the have-nots. And in this case, it's to distinguish those who have money and those who have less money. Boarding by class is stupid in the groups. It causes people to crowd the boarding area and makes people who have not paid to be in a higher class to feel like shit. And then on top of that, let's go back to the forcing people to check their bags. This is done to humiliate you. If you're in group 9 of 9, they're going to tell you, oh, we can complimentary check this bag for you. It's complimentary. Don't worry about it. Pick it up at the jet bridge. That means pick it up as soon as you get off. You don't have to go get it at the baggage claim. No. 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 And then in situations where I'm trying to fight them, it makes a scene. I don't understand. I do understand why airlines are doing it. And at this point, excuse me, it's just, it enrages me. I even recording this episode because it's all a part of the capitalist order to separate people. And then going along with separation of people, you guys know about Sky Clubs. Sky Clubs are for premium members only. These are where members can rest, eat, shower, and drink alcohol for free. It's just designed to keep the haves and the haves not out. Now, I have a priority pass through my Chase Sapphire Reserve. And priority pass basically allows me access to lounges throughout the world according to if an airport actually has one. I also can get into lounges for free, and I can honestly say it's a money grab, because you, as an individual person, if you don't have a priority pass, you can pay, but it's like $60 to $100 to get in these lounges. Mind you, you've already paid. You paid to sit down. You paid for the flight. You paid for your baggage. And you might got to go pick it up with a carousel after you get off your flight. So then on top of that, if you get there, you know, early enough, because you got to deal with the long lines, if you want to just take a breather, you have to pay for that. Like, that's literally what it is. You have to pay to breathe. You have to pay to get a break. And I know people have been complaining about it on social media, but I just think that we need to fight. We need to, like, revolt. This is unacceptable. And American airlines are not good. They are comparable to low-budget airlines in Europe. Like, Ryanair. Like, come on. Like, the quote-unquote good airlines in the United States are shitty. Let's face it. They're shitty. They intentionally overbook flights in the economy section so they can price gouge and push lower paying customers out. And there's all these tactics that airlines use. And I think the idea would be for the federal government to regulate more and stop operating under this guise of, oh, free markets and capitalism and the competition will rule out themselves and yada, whatever bullshit. We're all suffering, dying, and losing our rights. I wanted to go to Costa Rica with a friend, and literally the flight prices, it's either Spirit, which is $400, and I personally will never fly Spirit or Frontier Airlines. That is a boundary that I have. So Spirit to Costa Rica is $400, and then American Airlines with like with 26 hours of flying, mind you, from New York or Philly. And then American Airlines is like close to $1,000. Now, Costa Rica is like right around the corner. Like, it's not super close, but it's a place that Americans tend to frequent. And that's bullshit. Like, $400 pay for shit, but I have to pay for every single thing and then sit in airports with 13-hour layovers, or still have a layover and pay $1,000 for a 7 to 10 day trip. The math isn't mathing. And my point of this episode was to not only highlight the elitism of flying, but to also show you all and talk to you all about the ways in which we're losing our rights. Everything is getting more expensive, but we're not seeing an increase in wages. That is a problem. We are effectively losing our buying power, our right to livelihood. It's not just about flight prices. It's about food prices. It's about gas prices. It's about housing costs. Everything is on the rise. Except for our wages. We're the ones that are getting left behind. We're the ones with the poo on our face. We're the ones left with shitty service. We're the ones left with lost bags. My bag just got left in Dallas a couple weeks ago. And it was just like, up, it's left there. Up, it's on its way. You know? And I just sat around. What could I do besides sit around and wait and hope that it showed up? So the service is not the service industry. And specifically, I'm talking about the airline industry right now, has gotten worse, but they've also demanded the customer to pay more. We don't have rights. we don't. And for those that may think, oh, you can just drive these places, I can't drive to Costa Rica. I cannot drive all over the world. Flying is, you know, is important. And it is essential to my job, my livelihood as a traveler, but it's becoming increasingly more difficult to be able to do so. And the airline industry, I think, you know, this war between Russia and Ukraine, also with the oil prices soaring, has a lot to do with it. But it's just at the core of it, it's just corporate greed, right? Like, it's just people, these executives, white executives trying to price gouge. That's just what it comes down to. if I had to sum it up in one sentence. White corporate greed, and it's fucking killing us. That's a long sentence, but I had to say it. I had to say them both. And so I want to know what you guys thinking. Are you guys able to fly as much as you'd like? Are you guys happy with the prices that you've been seeing? Do you feel like traveling is still accessible to you at this time? Let me know. I know this was a shorter episode. I wanted to get it out because last week, actually, I had a friend visit. Speaking of world travelers, my friend came to visit me for a week. So that delayed my podcast recording for a week. But I'm back and I'm so excited to delve more into different travel topics with you guys. But how do you guys feel about flying? Do you think flying is an elitist undertaking? Do you feel othered when you fly? How do you feel when you notice you're about to go into an airport? Do you get anxiety? Do you take a Benadryl to help you fall asleep on a plane? How do you fly, essentially? So let me know at blackgirlworldtraveler@gmail.com how you fly. I'll see y'all next week's episode. Next week, I haven't decided the topic, but it's going to be a good one. So make sure you're on the lookout for next week's episode. I'll see y'all real soon. Peace.